Welcome, everybody, back to Friar Talk. Today, we're going to be talking about the Padres farm system. And right now, it seems like they're a borderline top five farm system. Baseball America had them rated at 6. ESPN had them at 4. So kind of depends where you're going for, but they're talked about, you know, borderline top five, which is really crazy when you consider that, because last year, I think the highest that we had seen them that we remember was 17th. There was also one that had them at like 23rd or something. So the jump from last offseason to this offseason has been insane. Now, obviously, you have Ethan Salas. You have Leo DeVries. You have those guys coming in. Salas was remarkable last year, got up to double A at like 16 and then 17 years old. But the Padres make the trade with the Yankees, so they have a couple guys there, Drew Thorpe being the main piece there. And now the farm system's kind of filling out. And I think the one thing that the biggest takeaway, and you can look at this as either a positive or a negative, but it's a very young farm system. And we'll talk about kind of who we think can contribute this year. That's going to be Jackson Merrill, very obviously. But there's other guys that aren't quite ready yet, like Robbie Snelling, Dylan Lesko. Dylan Lesko looks really good coming back from Tommy John. Obviously, Ethan Salas is 17 years old. DeVries, he's like 16 or 17 years old, super young, right? A lot of these guys are really young. And that's going to be the thing that's really exciting about the Padres farm system, because it's like a lot of these guys aren't ready. The main guys that are going to be ready this year, and maybe we'll get into them a little bit more just because I think that's the most exciting part. Number one is Jackson Merrill. Jackson Merrill, Isaac told me before he hopped on, he's going to be playing outfield in spring training. Chase, you said that you're penciling him as your starting left fielder right now. So it seems like he's probably going to start the year on the Padres unless they make a couple moves. So he's the number one guy. Then Drew Thorpe, he went to college with me, and he's 1 year younger, which is pretty funny that we were like on campus together, which is kind of hilarious. But he's come over from that Yankee trade. He's 23 years old. He was in double A last year. He looks good. So he might come out. He could potentially fight for that, you know, fifth starter spot. Graham Pauly, he's a third baseman. He could play, you know, corner infield. He could DH. He could do something like that. And then Randy Vasquez is the other guy also in that Yankees trade. Another pitcher. He's 24 years old. I don't remember if he pitched in the pros last year, but he's, you know, kind of up there. He's been playing in like high, you know, minor league baseball. So with that said, you know, this farm system is rated at the top. One, I think we don't do this that often. We like to rip AJ Preller a lot on this show because of some of the stuff that he struggled to do with this Padres team. However, you cannot rip AJ Preller for the farm system. The way that he's been able to rebuild this farm multiple times, round of applause for that. And this is something where we have to give him a lot of praise because he absolutely deserves it. So Padres farm system, now, once again, one of the best farm systems in the league. And now the part that's a little bit different that we haven't really got to see too much of the Padres do this, we're going to see some of the guys this year, and then we're going to see these guys continue to develop and hopefully continue to get better that are teenagers right now. But for the guys that are ready this year, for the farm system in general, Chase, Isaac, what are you guys feeling like right now?
I know we'll probably see Vasquez and Thorpe probably more in bullpen roles. Thorpe might make a spot start here and there. Vasquez, same way. They were used kind of both ways, where they'd make a couple starts, they'd be used in the bullpen. That was mainly Vasquez. If you looked at his stats, he had like a handful of starts and then a few more bullpen appearances. He's probably going to be used kind of like in that Seth Lugo role that it was last year. Lugo was mainly a starter, but he could also be used in relief when he needed to. So versatility is always great in pitching. Just kind of goes along with how stacked we are in the bullpen. Unfortunately, the only downside is that none of them are lefties, and Robbie Snelling is still a couple of years away, so we can't rely on a really decent lefty coming in from our farm this year, which is the one weakness in our Padres rotation, is we do not have a lefty, and Snell is probably way too expensive for the Padres. But you look at it, we have Pauly and Marcy, who could probably come in and DH. Maybe Pauly, if he has a really, really solid training, can start the year off at third. Cronenworth goes to first. Kim goes to short. And, oh, yeah, no, yeah. And, or not, Xander goes to short. Kim goes to second, and then Pauly plays third. I was like, who am I forgetting in the infield? It was X. Right now, you kind of look at it, you go, we don't really have a solid left fielder. Some of the older guys in the system who were supposed to be, you know, those DH power outfielders kind of haven't developed the way that we wanted to. Jackson Merrill's been knocking at the doors for a while. We've kind of saw rumors last year that he was going to take, or not rumors, but he did take some reps in, I believe, in center field and right field in the minor leagues last year. So it kind of just makes sense where you go, yeah, he's probably going to get some reps here. The infield's booked. We got guys for contracts basically for years. We got one open spot. It's not quick enough for center, so let's throw him in left. We got rid of Soto. Azokar is probably going to be the center fielder, if not Tatis, and then you throw Azokar in right. Still just leaves left field, and what do? Boom, Jackson Merrill. The one downside to him is that if you looked at his ground ball rate, it is still relatively high. We'll see how that translates into major leagues, but it gives you a lefty bat who has the ability to hit for some power. He's quick enough to do it. Don't know how well his skills will translate into outfield in such short notice, though the Padres have probably already given him a heads up saying, hey, you know what? We're maybe trading for a guy. Maybe not. Left field is yours for the taking. Depending on how you do, you get that spot. If not, you might trade for somebody. And I think one of the big things is like Matt was saying, Preller has done a great job replenishing the farm system year after year after he depletes it. That is the one thing he's good at. And the only reason, like, hey, maybe we can just demote Preller from being a GM because he makes some boneheaded decisions, but keep him as the director of scouts because the guy has an eye for talent unlike nobody has ever seen. Every single year, we're like, oh, wow, he depleted the entire farm system. And then we're like, oh, cool, we don't have a farm system. And then spring comes and he goes, oh, we have a top five farm system because he just signed a ton of international prospects. I don't know how he does it every single year, but he does it every single year. And I think another part of that is the way that some of the prospects developed last year. You looked at Snelling, you looked at Lesko, you looked at Iriarte, you looked at Merrill, Salas. We had a lot of young guys who just developed a lot quicker than we thought we were going to. Marcy and Pauly had years. A lot of guys got thrown up really quickly throughout the farm system to the point where we're like, oh, shoot, Salas might make his way to AAA by the time he's 18. Iriarte looked like he was going to be pushing for a bullpen role, and he's young too. Snelling was blowing through the farm system. I believe he's, 19 in AA? I mean, the guys are throwing themselves into great positions to really develop into potential all-stars, and that's kind of what their ceiling is, and we'll see if they reach it. But that's part of the reason the farm system is now ranked top five. We actually were able to develop these guys relatively quickly, and they're showing that they got this talent, and we're moving them along a lot quicker than, you know, some of the guys that we did from the past few cycles of the farm, where we'd look at it and be like, wow, Campusano has a 290 average in single A and 300 at bats. Why isn't he in double A? And you'll end the year off in single A and then maybe start next year in double A. We've seen a lot of guys be stuck in triple A with amazing stats and never get the call up opportunity. And hopefully that changes.
Yeah. And in past seasons, when the Padres have to rely on guys from the far system to come up and get valuable at bats, it ends up being a crappy season. So nonetheless, I forgot what site it was. I don't know. A lot of people were talking about it yesterday and the day before, whenever it came out, but we're projected for 75 wins right now, or like 77, something in that range, maybe 78. Now that's, of course, getting valuable at bats. That's thinking we're going to get valuable at bats, if they are valuable at all, from Jose Azucar, Cal Mitchell, Jacob Marcy, Graham Pauly. That's assuming that we're getting at bats from them in the outfield and not from guys that we can still sign on the free agent market. Now, if we do sign guys from the free agent market, two hitters and a lefty pitcher, maybe that total goes up to 83, 84. It seems like no matter what, though, we're not projected. Nobody really sees us as being a competitive team this year. Maybe somewhat competitive. 75 wins is not a competitive team. 83, 84 wins as a competitive team. Maybe that gets you a six seed. But yeah, you're, right now, from the current state of the Padres roster, you might not think of a successful team. And it's not because of a guy like Jackson Merrill, right? Jackson Merrill is one of the top prospects in baseball, second best prospect in the farm system right now, projected to get not opening day, but for now, some outfield reps in spring. A guy that we've said it before, he does have a high ground ball rate. He does ground out kind of a lot, and that doesn't really – I'm not a fan of that. I've never been a fan of that. I've kind of been on board with, like, hey, you know, if there's a Jackson Merrill suitor that wants him, go for it, because I think it's a good guy to trade, considering I don't think he really fits. Not that I don't think he's a great ball player. I think he's a great ball player, but I don't really think he fits what you need in San Diego right now. You need some power, and it from what it sounds like, he doesn't provide you much of that. And, you know, that's just judging based off his ground ball rate. Nonetheless, though, if he can fill that left field spot up until the trade deadline, now keep in mind the original plan right now, what it seems like for the Padres is just to get two outfielders, whether it be trade or signing them, hanging in there till the deadline, having some money left, and hopefully trading for someone, whoever's on the board. That's what it seems like the Padres are going to do, just hopefully hanging in there. Now, it's not going to be fun baseball up until then, but we just got to see how it all works out. But Jackson Merrill's projected to be the opening day left fielder as of right now, and we'll see how he does. I mean, he ended off the season quite strong last year. He didn't start it very strong, but he ended off pretty strong, and I'm excited to see what he can do in a Padres uniform. Jacob Marcy, I think that was the other guy I was going to talk about. Yeah, sorry, I looked at my notes, but he had an 840 OPS. He has an 840 OPS in his minor league career, 270 average. I forgot how many home runs, but in the fall league, he had a 1215 OPS, five home runs. So, I mean, that's also a guy that you could possibly be seeing coming off the bench, especially for an outfield option or even as DH. Who knows? We don't have a DH. I can't think of one off the top of my head, honestly. So we don't know who it's going to be. But enough with the guys that are projected to come up this year. Let's talk about the young guys, right? We got Ethan Salas. Jim Callis today said that Ethan Salas might be the most valuable piece in all of baseball just because of his age, the position he plays, you know, a mix of things that make him one of the most valuable pieces in baseball. So not someone that the Padres are going to be looking to trade. I doubt they're going to be looking to trade him. And the reason I bring up a trade is because the Padres trade a lot of prospects, whether they're that good or not. However, this is a guy that I don't see the Padres even entertaining a trade for, considering he might be one of, if not the most valuable pieces in baseball. You know, when he comes up and when he's fully developed, could arguably become the best catcher in baseball ahead of Adley. So, I mean, that's high praise, but it could happen considering the things that we've heard about Ethan Salas. Then you got Dylan Lesko, one of the most electrifying changeups people have ever seen. Coming off Tommy John, his command was a little shaky, but that's to be expected. That's going to come back as time goes, but he's one of the best pitching prospects of the last decade. First round pick, 15th pick for the Padres. So, he's someone that's going to be, you know, not in the near future, but hopefully in the next 3, 4, maybe 5 years, that's going to be someone that you're hoping is going to be a number two, a number three, and shoot, maybe even a number one in your rotation. But there's prospects that are expected to contribute this year, and I talked about them earlier. Now, there's also the guys that come from the Yankees trade. You got Johnny Brito, Randy Vasquez, Drew Thorpe. Drew Thorpe's also said to be one of the best changeups. Doesn't exactly have a ton of velocity, but his stuff is supposed to be really good. So that's someone that you're probably going to see contributing out of the bullpen or in the rotation at some point this year. I think it's kind of similar, not his like stuff, but it's kind of similar to like Seth Lugo, where like, oh, he's a reliever, or he could be a reliever, but he could also be a starter, and he could work out as a starter in that mold. But yeah, man, I mean, it was such a fast turnaround, such a quick turnaround from, hey, the Padres just depleted their farm system, get Juan Soto, Josh Hader, Brandon Drury, Josh Bell, Mike Clevenger at one point. You know, they just depleted their farm system to get these guys, and it could take them a while to build it back up. And with a snap of a finger, they're already back in the top 10. I mean, approaching top five. So it happened really fast. All credit to AJ Preller for that, for sure. That's kind of an argument for keeping him, right? It's like, he does really good in this department, but with the major league team, it's not so fun. So what it sounds like right now is that the Padres are going to have to rely on their prospects to keep them in there until the trade deadline and then see what they can do from there.
Yeah, so I definitely want to get into the younger guys as well. They're the most exciting pieces, you know, DeVries, Salas, Lesko, you talked about his changeup, Robbie Snelling. But the guys this Padres season, you're right, it's going to, you know, the final thing you said is, you know, it's going to depend on these prospects. It's going to depend on if they can hang in. And I think it's really interesting because you look at where this team is at and there's going to be a lot of competition in spring training. And if we're being honest, like, okay, this is not exciting as coming into the year as last year, obviously, right? That's clear. But the spring training battles, they actually have real things to look forward to in spring training. That has not been many Padres teams where you're looking at like, oh, you know, it's like we're looking at Abrams and Gore, and it's like just them. That's been the last few years where it's like that's kind of all you're looking for. Last year, the spring training was pretty much meaningless. There was nothing you were looking for besides like A.E. Rosario, then he got hurt. So it's like nothing mattered, right? Spring-wise, just like seeing the guys. But this year, like there are a lot of players. And Jacob Marcy, you know, you brought him up. He's coming off of a ridiculous Arizona Fall League. Graham Pauly, he's a bat that's going to compete. Irarte, right? Drew Thorpe, Merrill. Like there's a lot of names that are at the top. Randy Vasquez. And they're not your best names. Jackson Merrill's going to be the one that's the big name for you, right? But outside of that, like they're not your most talented guys in your system. Because I would say that Jackson Merrill, yeah, he is like their kind of typically their rate as like their number two prospect. But if we're talking talent, how, you know, what's the ceiling for these guys? He's not up there with Salas, DeVries, Lesko, Snelling. Like all of those guys have higher ceilings. And I read something earlier today that was talking about, you know, if Lesko goes back to gets like returns to form after Tommy John and Snelling is that, you know, is as good as he's played lately, he continues that upward trend, they might have the best two, like the best duo in minor league baseball. That might happen. So I think the younger guys are way more exciting, way more when you're looking at where the Padres are at as an organization, it makes sense that they're not going to have this like big time year. But Isaac, you brought up that 75, you know, projected wins. You know, that's something where if one of these guys comes up and does really well and they fill one spot and then you make another trade and then you adjust, you can sneak into the playoffs. That's what this year is. It's a developmental year where you're trying to sneak into the playoffs. That seems what it is. And maybe that, like, I don't know, maybe that bothers people, like that are Padres fans, are like, oh, like that's not where this team's at or whatever. That's 100% where they're at. Like, and that's not necessarily like the worst thing in the world. I would even argue that it's better than when you get into desperation mode of we have to win now. It doesn't feel like they're doing that, even though at the beginning of the offseason, I figured that's what they would kind of go into. And they're not. So you can look at that as a positive. You can also look at it as a negative that they kind of fell apart from where they were at coming into last season. You can do either way. You know, you can fan however you want to fan. But that's kind of my overall thoughts. And just like, you know, the more exciting guys are the younger guys, but there's going to be guys this year. And if one of them, two of them makes the jump, that can put the Padres in a spot where they can compete for a playoff spot. And they might not have to be full-time players, but you have a couple of these dudes be, you know, platoon guys where they're playing a little bit and it might go a long way. So I do think it's very interesting. I do think it's a big deal that the Padres farm system is already back to where it was a couple years ago, because that just shows how quickly AJ Preller is able to replenish it. And I will give him all the credit in the world for this on this topic, like we said, on this topic, but he deserves it when it comes to the farm system. But that's kind of my overall piece on it. You guys got anything else you want to bring up about these guys?
No, my only thing is, hey, let's actually develop these guys and let's not just trade them away like we always do for other talent that's on a short-term deal that we can afford, as we're running out of the time that we can, you know, actually, hey, let's trade all these prospects away and increase the payroll. We can't really do that anymore. We need some cheap contracts. We really need this farm system to come through if we want to continue to be able to compete with the Dodgers and the Braves with the teams that they have and the contracts that they have. They have a lot of guys to long-term deals that are incredibly good at what they do, and they are really good at development. So if we don't want to just be a wild card spot every single year, we're going to have to figure out how to develop our own guys.
Yeah, and on the contrary to that, there is no reason a ticket in the nosebleeds to see this team should be $100. I will say that. everyone else will for sure agree with me because there's no reason. I don't care if it's against the Dodgers. I do not want to pay $100 for the tippity-toppity of the stadium to see us get 10-0, to see us lose 10-0. I'm not down for it, all right? They shouldn't be doing that. This payroll does not justify that. Now, hey, if the payroll is the same as last year, yeah, sure, hey, go for it. But it's not. It's not. I don't even know if it's close. But the youth movement, it seems like it's not in full effect, but it's starting to take effect in San Diego. Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish are the older guys in the rotation. Everyone else is pretty damn young. Fernando has been around for a little while, but he's still super young. Manny, really the only old guys, and they're not even that old. Manny, Jake, and X, and that's really it. Outside of that, you got a bunch of young guys. And I don't really know how to feel about it. I know from what I've seen, I'm not too impressed. I'm not impressed on what I've seen from Azokar. I don't like how often Jackson Merrill hits ground balls. Now, that's not to say I think he's a bad player. I do think he's a good player. I just don't think he fits with the Padres' need. And I said that earlier, and I'll say that again. But yeah, it really, the like Matt said, the exciting guys are the young guys. You got Leo DeVries, who, people talk about Ethan Salas being, or Jim Callis at least talks about Ethan Salas being maybe the most valuable piece in baseball. Definitely maybe the most valuable piece in the minor leagues. Well, DeVries might be of the same caliber, right? Weird name to bring up considering things, but he was considered to be better, if not the same as Wander Franco when he was a prospect. Which is, insane talent to be compared to. So that's exciting for sure. The younger guys are to be excited for. We should be excited for them. We should be excited for 2026, 2027 when they're all up here ready to compete in a Padres uniform. But for now, 2024, it's looking like a year where the Padres are saying, hey, maybe we can win 84 games, 85 games this weekend as a sixth seed and make some noise in the playoffs. But if not, it's fine. Our payroll isn't going to be the same as it was last year. Hopefully we can reset and maybe not get back to that payroll from 2023, but get up there because you're competing with the Dodgers. You're competing with the team that just went to the World Series and the Diamondbacks. The Giants have made some moves outside of your division. You got the Phillies, who are one of the best lineups in all of baseball. The Braves, one of the best teams I've ever seen, to be honest, even if they didn't make it past the NLDS, one of the best teams I've ever seen. You just got teams that are going out there and putting up not only high payrolls, but developing prospects at a rate like none other, such as the Braves. So if you're going to compete, you got to develop these guys, and it's got to be a good mix of what they've said before, decent payroll, a top 10 payroll, and some cheap contracts.
It's almost like we've been talking about being able to develop guys for the last 4 years, I want to say, maybe. Almost like that's always what the conversation ends up coming to, I think, that we got to be able to develop at least some of these guys, all right? We need a couple of them on the roster that are good, that are young, cheap, and good. We need that. And then they've been traded. But now it seems like there is a youth movement. So final thing I will say, if you're jumping in the youth movement, right, that's what we're doing. And it is interesting actually looking at the Padres roster because it is pretty young, like their whole organization, outside of a handful of guys. There's one guy that wore a Padres shirt or jersey or something today. Chase's guy that he's loved, that we've been talking about for 3 years, Roky Sasaki. If you're going in the youth movement, you give him a blank check, all right? That's the one guy you do it for. Now, maybe you don't because he does have injury history. I don't care. The talent is insane. We just saw, we've seen a lot of guys make a lot of money out of Japan. Roky Sasaki is probably going to make more than all of them, I would guess. That would be my guess. But yeah, if you are going to try to do that, I say full send on signing Roky Sasaki. And that would be like, obviously he would never play in the minors, but he would be another piece of the youth movement because that dude is as insane as it gets from a pitching standpoint. So final guy I'll bring up, since we're talking about prospects, might as well talk about a guy that's another international player, not a prospect, but he is a young international player, and he might be in play for the Padres. Probably not this year. Doesn't seem like he's going to be eligible to come out, even though he really wants to. Seems like next year that will be the case. So always got to keep an eye on rookie Sasaki, because we brought him up in like 2020 when he was going crazy, or 2021, one of those years. But yeah, so thank you all for listening. Tomorrow, we're going to have a very fun episode out. All of us talking and debating whether or not it makes sense to trade Ha-Sung Kim, which we're going to have some different opinions on this one. So I'm excited for it. But yeah, that's our next episode. So make sure to subscribe, like all that stuff. And we'll be talking about Kim tomorrow. So thank you all. Have a good night. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.